brief, but then you will have them. So this week we will cross 9,000 cases of Ebola and 4,500 deaths. The outbreak continues to hit health workers hard. So far, 427 healthcare workers have been infected with Ebola and 236 have died. Our data shows that cases are doubling every 4 weeks. The disease is still widespread in Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone, and there is persistent transmission of the virus. Here are some details for those of you who are following it closely. An increase in new cases in Guinea is being driven by a spike in confirmed and suspected cases in the capital, Conakry, and the nearby district of Koya. In Liberia, problems with data gathering makes it hard to draw any firm conclusions. There is significant underreporting of cases from the capital, Monrovia, but it is also worth mentioning that Lofa districts appear to have a decrease in the number of cases. This is encouraging. Since this area was hit hard early on, but we need a concerted effort to sustain this drop. Remember, we've had drops before, and then we've seen another increase in number of cases. So we need to remain vigilant, maintain our efforts. WHO has had a strong community engagement in this area of Lofa in Liberia, and we're hopeful that work is paying off. Time will tell. Community engagement is very important. In Sierra Leone, intense transmission is still occurring in the capital, Freetown, and the surrounding districts. Many of our experts are now in Accra working with the UN mission to fill in the details for the work plan for stopping the outbreak. The new UN mission has the role of threading across all the different UN agencies that are working in this response so that we can make sure the right resources end up in the right place and the gaps and needs can be filled quickly. But this is only part of the work. It will take time, months, before this outbreak is stopped. And in the meantime, we need to make sure it doesn't spread to other countries. So let me tell you more about what we are doing for preparedness. Now, when we're talking about preparedness, it's clear that there is a difference between a case arriving in a country and Ebola spreading in a country. Given the incubation period, and I'm sure you're all very familiar with the incubation period by now, 2 to 21 days, it is possible that a case will arrive in a country. And what we're doing is getting countries that may see some of these imported cases, getting them prepared, getting them ready. And that the objective is to stop the transmission from occurring in these countries. They may have a case, but after one case, we don't want more cases. We right now have 14 countries in our list of priority countries. Have they been chosen? They've been chosen because they have either land borders with the affected countries. Here we're talking about Guinea-Bissau, Senegal, Mali, and Côte d'Ivoire. These four countries have a land border with the affected countries, or they have high travel and trade routes. Now, we recognize it could travel elsewhere, such as in the US and Spain, where it already has, actually. But these countries elsewhere are well equipped to handle a disease like Ebola because they have strong health systems that can provide high quality supportive care to a patient who is ill. And they also have good infection control in their healthcare to protect the disease from spreading. Now, when we think about the neighboring African countries, we have a bigger concern. They really need to be better prepared. In addition to those I've mentioned earlier, naming Côte d'Ivoire, Guinea-Bissau, Mali, and Senegal, we will continue working with Benin, Cameroon, Central African Republic, Democratic Republic of Congo, Gambia, Ghana, Mauritania, Nigeria, South Sudan, and Togo. In the program, we will work with these countries to help them assess what they need, what they have done so far, and what is still needed. Let me emphasize that the work is not starting today. We've been working with countries for many years to ensure that they can be better prepared to detect and to respond to any outbreak. Currently, we're dealing with Ebola. Most of these countries in the past had to deal with outbreaks. The principles are the same. Be ready, detect, inform, assess, respond. We will ramp up our support to the countries. We will have visit. We will work with them on their plan, but a plan is only as good as a plan. It needs to be changed into action. We're going to run simulation exercise so that the real life can be tested. What is really happening if a case is reported? We're also going to help them identifying the gaps and become better. Because the health workers are so important, we will pay a lot of attention to support countries, ensure that they have enough personal protective equipment in place before so that they can be used, and so that the healthcare workers also train on how to use the equipment. We have developed a checklist that will help countries going through systematically what they need to have in place. Here we're talking about high-level coordination. We're talking about being able to have rapid response team. So what are these rapid response team? It's a group of people who can be immediately deployed. They're able to conduct an investigation. They're able to do safe collection of samples. They're going to confirm, they're able to confirm that, yes, after the results of the laboratory is available, here is the case, and that person needs to be immediately isolated, taken care of. Others need to be protected, and contact tracing should follow immediately. It is possible to do it at the beginning of an outbreak, and this is the objective. The third point is to start engaging the communities from now on. People are traveling. Cases might be introduced in the countries. We cannot work with the assumption that nothing will happen. Preparedness is about telling the communities that there might be a case. Should it happen, it is very important to immediately let a healthcare facility know that this is happening. In many countries, they will have a phone number that can be used to call so that adequate procedures can be put in place. This will avoid that a person is in panic and runs all over a city not knowing what to do, and during this wandering around contaminating potentially people. Keep in mind, we're talking about sick person. We're not talking about people who are just arriving from a country and have no symptom. Preparedness, sorry, I'm moving a little bit. So high-level coordination, rapid response teams, public awareness, training on infection prevention and control. Healthcare workers are on the front line. We will never say that enough. They need to be protected. They need to be well trained. They need to identify a group of people who will have the huge responsibility to take care of the first patient and make sure the patient is treated correctly and those taking care of him, her, are also protected. Proper case management. Contact tracing, as I told you, we cannot underestimate the importance of contact tracing. Success of Senegal and Nigeria is directly linked to a good contact tracing. Identify all the persons and make sure they're followed up and the disease doesn't further spread. Have laboratories in place or know where to send the sample. It's very important to understand that each country does not need to have a well-equipped laboratory able to do the diagnosis at the very beginning. What is important is to know where and how to send the samples so that a correct diagnosis can be done rapidly. We will also provide the countries with the details on what is required in terms of supplies, material, what type of ambulance. We have enough evidence now to know that the best ambulance is not a closed ambulance, it's a pickup. You take a pickup. Why is it better to have a pickup? The driver is protected. The person can be put in the back from brancard. I don't know how to say brancard. Thank you. And therefore, you limit the manipulation of the person. So this type of very practical information is available and is going to be provided, is being provided actually to countries in a very easy way to understand. I think I will stop here, and I hope I've been able to provide you enough information on the current situation and why it is important to work on the preparedness. Let me emphasize, the work is not starting now. We are checking now with the countries that all elements that have to be in place are indeed in place. There will be gaps for sure, and our responsibility will be to ensure that the gaps can be filled as rapidly as possible. Thank you.
Thank you.